Hi, everybody. My special guest today is Ms. Janine Godwin. She is a certified professional organizer. So if you're messy, this is the woman to go to. And she actually has eight certificates of study from the Institute for Challenging Disorganization. If you can say that, you're organized. How are you today, Janine?
I'm doing great, Anna. How are you?
I'm fine. I know here that you have been on the TV show Hoarding, Buried Alive.
That's correct.
I got to tell you, and a lot of my friends too, I am addicted to that show. I'm fascinated by the psychology behind that show, the way people just accumulate things and can't let go. And how did you ever get into a profession that that helps these kind of people?
Well, it's ironic. I mean, I started out as a professional organizer, just, you know, going into people's homes, helping them clear things up and coming up with storage solutions. But then I started seeing this trend, and the trend seemed to be the older adults, anywhere from the late 50s on up. I started seeing that they're really holding on to a lot of things.
They're boomers. A lot of these are boomers.
Exactly. And I started really seeing that it was more and more difficult for them to let go of these possessions. And I thought, you know, I knew that this subspecialty, I guess you could call it, of organizing existed. And I thought, you know, let me kind of look into this, dabble into it, kind of get an idea of what all's involved to really get a better understanding of this whole condition. And so that's why I had joined the ICD, because they offer classes and they offer the different certificates, as you mentioned earlier, in the various aspects of the chronically disorganized, the hoarding, the ADD.
And the chronically disorganized.
Chronically disorganized.
Because I know most people are disorganized to some extent. I mean, we all kind of have a messy office. And how do you know when this stuff gets out of hand?
Well, I think people as a whole will recognize it. You know, that's when they pick up the phone and they go, okay, I'm losing a lot of time. My productivity has gone down considerably. I'm buying the same objects over and over. I can't find the things that I have bought or I have stored away. So they start recognizing that their quality of life has been, you know, hampered as a result of this disorganization. When it gets that bad, they get online, find an organizer, or maybe ask a referral, maybe from a friend or family member, and they reach out and ask for help. You know, can I get this under control? Absolutely. You know, I can get it under control.
I applaud you for doing this. I mean, I've watched the show. I've watched Hoarders and Hoarding Buried Alive. And, I mean, some of these people, they literally have to climb over mounds of stuff. I mean, where do you start with somebody like that? How do you approach them? Because I know from watching the show that a lot of these people that are hoarders are very, very tight with their stuff. They're very attached to it. How do you get them to let go to begin with?
Well, the first thing, when I do get a call, a lot of times I don't get the calls from the hoarder themselves. Most of the time it's a family member or close friend that will call and say, I'm at my wit's end, my mother is living in filth, or my, you know, good friend is storing things that she has no use for. And, you know, when I hear that, of course my heart breaks, my heart goes out to them, I understand completely where they're at. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I ask them, I said, is your friend or family member, are they in counseling at all? That is critical in working with a hoarder, especially severe hoarders. And 9 times out of 10, no, they're not. And that's the first piece of advice I give to anybody, whether it's the hoarder calling in themselves or somebody on their behalf. I say, you know, there's a lot going on. Obviously, there are layers and layers and layers of things going on in their psyche that they really have to resolve
that
and get under control.
Right. What is it, Janine? What do you think it is that, what's the common thread? I mean, is it that are they trying to hold on to memories or to relationships that they associate with these objects? What is it? Is there a common thread that runs through this?
I would say that, you know, it's a very, a variety of different things. However, I see one common thread in every single client I have ever worked with that has a hoarding situation is severe loss. Some form of loss. It could be a loss of a loved one, a family member, a friend, a job, even loss of self-esteem. You know, it compounds their life so heavily that the only thing that they can control are the things that are sitting in front of them. They can't control somebody passing on. They can't control sometimes. Well, sometimes they can, but for the most part, sometimes, you know, they have a lifelong job that they've had 20, 30 years, and by losing that job puts them in a tizzy like you wouldn't believe. So it's, I just see this profound sense of loss in some form or fashion that really seems to be that thread that I see coming through every case that I've worked with. Of course, that's not all of it, but that seems to be a very dominating factor that I have noticed when speaking with them or asking them. You know, when you start talking to them and they start revealing a little bit about themselves or their background or their lifestyle, you hear the sadness. You hear something's missing. Something's, you know, been diswired somewhere.
And does this completely obliterate them to seeing the filth and just the squalor that they live in? I mean, when you talk to these people, do they acknowledge how they're living or do they not see it?
I would say it's 50-50. Sometimes they are totally, totally aware of what's going on around them, but they feel so overwhelmed and ashamed they don't even know what to do about it. On the flip side, for those that seem to be kind of in another world and they just kind of, it's like acceptance. They've accepted this is the way I'm going to live. This is the way my life has turned out. And this is all that's good for me, you know, so.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. I mean, like food. I watched one episode of that show and there was a woman, she actually found her cat. It was like squash, it looked like a beef jerky cat. Like if you poured water on it, it would fluff up.
And she had
no idea where the cat is until they uncovered it. I mean, it's funny and it isn't, but it's funny how the mind can just, that's what fascinates me about what you do, how you can get people to come back to reality, so to speak, you know, and what is the success rate of the people that you work with?
Oh, gosh, I wish I could give you actual number statistics, Anna, but I would say just what I have, and I can only go by my case studies or what I have actually seen. I would say that, you know, less than 10%
really?
Do anything positive, and they just kind of go right back. You know, it's habits.
Because it's comfortable for them? Is that why? Is it?
It could be the comfort zone. It could be that they just, you know, haven't gotten enough of the mental health assistance to really work through their problems. And that's why I stress so strongly when I do get these calls initially to get into counseling. And, you know, one of the prerequisites that I have, and this isn't, you know, anywhere that says that this has to be the prerequisite, but these are the standards I've set for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a client be in therapy or work with a mental health professional at a minimum of 2 to 3 months prior to even considering bringing in a professional organizer. They've got to start working on the why.
Right.
They have to start working on themselves emotionally and mentally before they can even consider bringing somebody in to start working on the next level or the next layer of it.
It's fascinating. It's just fascinating. Now, that's the extreme level, the hoarding. What about people who are just, do you help people that are just disorganized? Say they want to organize their business or their office, or do you help people with that as well, or are you more for severe cases?
Oh, no. In fact, I would say only probably about 5% of my actual clients are the hoarding. Daily, everyday clients are, like you said, business owners that have kind of let it get away from them. A lot of paperwork is piled up. Their filing system is antiquated, or they maybe want to go to a digital format and start getting rid of the papers. And then housewives, moms, you know, that are got 3 kids are driving me crazy. The house is a mess. Everything's disorganized. I'm running by the seat of my pants. I mean, help me set up some systems that I can kind of keep maintain on a daily basis, or help me set up a routine or a time management schedule to get me set up for the weekly things that are going on in the house. So I would say that's actually the majority of my clientele are that type of client.
Well, could you give us a few tips? Say, for instance, I have an office with lots of papers. I'm not a hoarder, but I have a lot of papers and unpaid bills, and they're all, could you give us just maybe a couple of tips just to get started, maybe to organize ourselves a little better?
Absolutely. You know, in regards to bills, one of the things that seems to be more and more prevalent, and of course this is a boomer thing, you know, we're at that age to where we're not 100% ready for 100% electronic, and we still have that tendency to hold on to paper.
Right. So, right. We like the tactile experience.
Yeah, right.
There's something exactly about holding it in front of you that's just great.
You know. You got to scratch it, sniff it, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
And, And so what I'm trying to get my clients that are in that boomer age to embrace more the electronic type of bill pay. Some of them just don't trust the security of it. They don't trust, you know, where's my money going? They like to be able to have that control of writing the check, putting it in the envelope, slapping the stamp on it, and putting it in the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of paper can really be tamed or eliminated if we kind of have an open mind of alternative ways to deal with it. Electronic is really becoming very big. Scanning items, important documents, whether it's insurance,
yes, that's
policies.
True. Yes, that helps tremendously.
Know? Exactly. So that's one tip. I'm saying, you know, if you're a boomer and you're not quite there yet, I know that your younger, maybe a younger relative or son or daughter is very prolific in how to deal with this electronic age. Ask for the help. Have them help you set it up, you know, because, I mean, it's like my mom, who's 73. I mean, there is no way she would ever be able to do this electronically, but I can help her, for example. And then
right.
Even I struggle sometimes, and I got my 21-year-old is like, Mom, that's just a piece of cake, you know. So seek out that help to hopefully go a little bit more electronic. Another tip that I always, I mean, this is two tips, actually, that are so, so important. Try to purge at least a minimum of once a year, you know, whether it's a closet, whether
great,
it's a file.
That's a great tip. That's a great tip. They say if you haven't used something or worn, especially clothing, worn it in a year, get rid of it.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'm going to be the anti-organizer by kind of quaffing that, because even though that seems to be the standard method that everybody's been kind of going by, but I'm like, that's not really fair, because we as women, and I can only speak with women, especially us boomers that mm-hmm. kind of seem to be going through all kinds of things in our lives medically.
And the minute you throw some away, you need it. Do you find that?
I find that
all the time. I'll throw some. I'm like, where's that sweater? Oh, I threw it away. I gave or I donated it, you know?
Well, and the thing is that we women of a certain age, as I like to say,
I love that, of a certain age. That's better than lying. Yes, go ahead.
It's a nice way of saying we're in denial about our age.
Exactly.
But, you know, our weight will go up, our weight will go down. So I just say, you know what? For women especially, don't go by that if you haven't worn it in a year, get rid of it, because you're not going to wear everything every single day. But I look at it as find your current size. So let's say if you're a size 10 or 12 and that seems to be the size that you are currently at and been holding at for a while,
mm-hmm.
then you have a tendency to maybe lose and maybe have a tendency to gain depending on, you know, the time of year or whatever.
And who's pissing you off?
right. You can't get around that. But I just say, you know what, have an outfit, one or two outfits on either side of that size. So if you're a constant 10, have an outfit in a 12, have an outfit in an 8, because that way you'll always, depending on which way your body's fluctuating, you'll have something in your closet to wear. Now, if you lose a considerable amount of weight or just the opposite, gain a considerable amount, let's face it, you know, I mean, especially if you're on a diet, don't keep things in your closet
mm-hmm.
that you're going to say, someday I'm going to get into this.
Yes, we all do that, someday. That's like the skinny wardrobe over on one side.
Yeah, and you know what? All that does is just depress you, to be honest with you. So mm-hmm. I say, you know what? If you hold on to it long enough, and weight loss, if you do it right and you're going to do it gradually, by the time you do maybe fit into those clothes, you're not going to like them anyway. You're going to feel so darn good about yourself, you're going to run down to the mall and buy all new clothes anyway, you know?
Exactly. And what a great reason to go to the mall. Get rid of that stuff, ladies. We can get more stuff and feel good about ourselves.
That's what I say. I look at my clients, I go, you want permission to go shopping? And they're like, really? What? You know?
Isn't that funny? Yeah, we all need that permission so we don't feel guilty. Now, are you a big fan of those organizers, like little, you know, plastic bins and all that sort of stuff?
Not the kitschy stuff. And when I say kitschy stuff, not the real cheap plastic items. For some reason, I've been working a lot with integrating a lot of bamboo products with my clients.
Oh.
Bamboo is extremely durable. It is water safe to a point. I mean, I'm not going to say it's waterproof.
Right.
It looks great. When you're organizing something and do it all in bamboo, it looks awesome.
No kidding. And what kind of bamboo? I love bamboo. What kind of bamboo stuff do you use?
Well, they've got like beautiful bamboo drawer organizers, bamboo boxes that you could put sweaters in your closet.
Oh, I'm so excited. A reason to go buy bamboo.
There you go. And it's a reusable product, so, you know, we are going green. So I really do like that. That's not to say that I don't use plastic at all. I do, but I try to shy away from the plastic inside the house, like in closets.
You know,
not a fan of plastic bins in closets.
And why is that?
It just looks really kind of like a storage unit.
Well, yeah, it's true. But that's a whole other show.
Exactly. I like things that look a little classier and a little nicer.
Nice.
But, you know, plastic does come into play in its appropriate situation. You know, I mean, if you're just going to have nothing but plastic bins, after a while you may as well just get a 10x20 storage unit at the self-storage place. You know?
Exactly. That's exactly right. That's great. So you help a lot of people that just kind of need your guidance to, you know, just kind of get their lives running a little smoother.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you have a couple of quick tips for moms before we sign out of here?
Absolutely. Moms are, I would say, a really big chunk of my clientele. And one of the things that there's one tip I like now. Of course, I get the looking like I got two heads look when I say this to them. But, you know, kids get so many toys, especially little ones. You know, mm-hmm. Christmas comes around, birthday, bar mitzvahs, christenings, whatever. The kids get just inundated with toys. And I said, you know, the kids really don't play with everything. You know, watch what they're playing. If they're playing with one or two items all the time and they're not really paying attention to the other stuff, you might want to think about parting with those items that they're not really playing with.
When they're not looking, of course.
Yeah, when they're not looking, you know, just kind of, they just finds a new home somewhere. But, you know, when it comes to those holidays or those gift-giving reasons, tell grandparents and tell family members, why not, instead of giving them a toy, you know, give them something small, something that they might play. It doesn't have to be the whole big Barbie castle or whatever.
Or $100 bill. That always works.
Or $100 bill for them to go to Toys R Us. But, you know, why not start a college fund? And grandma and grandpa can put $50 in for their birthday, $100 in for
Christmas. That's an excellent idea. In fact, I'm going to start telling people to do that with me on the holidays. I'm going to start my own fund.
Yeah,
Janine, that's an excellent that's an excellent idea. The Collins Fund for better education and clothes.
That's it. And the other thing I try to, you know, work into my clientele as far as a tip is establish a routine. Without a routine, kids love structure. Parents really benefit from structure. If you establish a routine, you know, and I'm not saying so rigid that it's military precise, but I mean, just get a basic standard routine in place Monday through Friday, especially during school when we're ready to go back to school next week here in Houston. You know, just establishing a routine, sticking to that routine, you're going to see that you're actually going to gain more time. Because you're not wasting time flittering around like
running
a butterfly.
Running around unorganized.
Mm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So I would say as far as parents, those are the two big ones I try to work in and try to get them to work on. It works sometimes. Sometimes, like I said, they look at me like I'm speaking Greek, but, you know, that's okay,
too. And if they're Greek, all the better.
Yeah, right?
So, Janine, if we want to get in touch with you and take advantage of your services and all that good stuff, how can we get in touch with you?
Well, people can visit my website. It's nooksandcrannies.com.
Terrific. So nooksandcrannies.com.
That's it.
That makes a lot of sense. Janine, I want to thank you so much for all those good tips and for being on the show today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna. I hope you have a wonderful day.
I hope you do, too, and I feel more organized already. Thanks a lot.
That's the point.